Before we read Ezra chapter 3, let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you be with us in this time. Let us worship. We pray that you send the Spirit and cause these dry bones to live. Father, be with us. Bless your message. Send a message from you as you see fit. Have it be glorifying to your name and edifying to the saints and draw sinners to repentance. Let this be a time of worship. Be with those of our congregation who are undergoing trial, whatever the trial may be, whatever that time is. Be with them through the time. Cause us to rejoice through it. We pray this thankfully in Christ's name for his sake. Ezra chapter 3. Our text today is actually in Psalm 118, but this relates to our text. Psalm 118:22 says of our Lord Jesus Christ, calls him the stone which the builders refused. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the quarter. Of the corner. Listen to the joy in Jerusalem. The joy in Jerusalem here in Ezra as the foundation of the temple was laid. Ezra chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together, by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he is good. Thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites, and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept. They wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Amen. If you'll grab your bulletins and stand, Mike will lead us in a call to worship.
Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting his unchanging word and pleading Christ alone. This is the name the Father loves. This is the name we plead. This is the name that heaven approves and blesses us indeed. Then let his name forever be to us supremely dear. His name, our all-prevailing plea, for all our hope is there. His name, Lord Jesus. Jesus suits him well. His name is great indeed. He saves from sin and wrath and hell. His name is all I need.
Thank you. Be seated. Turn to number 16 in our great hymns of faith. Number 16, the Lord is truly King. The Lord is King, lift up thy voice, sing his praise, all heaven and earth before him now rejoice, sing his praise, from world to world the joy shall ring, for he alone is God and King. From sky to sky his banners fling, sing his praise. The Lord is King, let all his worth declare, great is he, great is he. Bow to his will and trust his tender care. Great is he, great is he. Nor murmur at his wise decrees, nor doubt his steadfast promises. In humble faith, fall on thy knees. Great is he, great is he. The Lord is King, and bow to him ye must. God is great, God is good. The judge of all, to all is ever just. God is great, God is good. Holy and true are all his ways. Let every creature shout his praise. The Lord of hosts, Ancient of days. God is great, God is good. The Lord is King throughout his vast domain. He is all in all. The Lord Jehovah evermore shall reign. He is all in all. Through earth and heaven one song shall ring. From grateful hearts this anthem spring. Arise ye saints, salute thy King. All thy days sing his praise. Song's hard to beat. Hard to beat that song. 143. There's one that may, though. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Jesus the Savior reigns.
of truth and love, when he had purged our stains and took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail, he rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Lift up your heart, lift up your heart, boys, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, our Lord the Judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice.
It's a good song too, isn't it?
Turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. The main focus today is going to be on verse 24 said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the main text. We're going to read through Psalm 118, but I wanted to give you that so you can listen because there's some questions to me in that verse. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's some questions there that I have that I want to answer, that I believe the text answers. That puts it better. The text answers, doesn't it? These four questions, and listen for them as I read through Psalm 118. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? What day hath he made? Who is the Lord? What day hath he made? Who is the we? That's important. It says we will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to be part of that we. Who is we? And what is it? What does it mean? What is it to rejoice? So listen for those as I read through Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in to them and will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We will bless you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen. of Sharon, the pearl of great price. But what sets my heart to music is that in Him I have life. Oh, I'll never get over His love. All my days
thank you, Mike. Open your Bibles with me again to Psalm 118. By means of introduction, again, I had mentioned our main focus is on verse 24. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Quite honestly, what kept bringing me back to this scripture is the trouble I've had with it. Not because the verse is troublesome, because I'm troublesome, because I've misunderstood it. My sinfulness caused me trouble with this verse. I've heard it misused. I've misused it myself, and in this life, we're never rid of this flesh. We're just never rid of this flesh. We see, but we see through a glass darkly, don't we? We're never rid of this flesh. Our sinful flesh, and we need to be aware of this, our sinful flesh will continue, even with such a beautiful verse as this, to bring us under burden and obligation, sinfulness. But thankfully, the Lord draws us out. He draws us out through the preaching of His Word. The Lord draws us out of that. We're no longer under the law's dominion, neither for salvation nor in this life. We're no longer under the law's dominion. Our sinful flesh keeps trying to bring us back under it, though. And the trouble I've had with this verse comes from that sense of obligation to try and get myself, honestly, in a better mood. I haven't been sleeping well for months, and I've been waking up horribly. I wake up with a headache every single day. And this scripture comes, and this is what my flesh tells myself. Don't do this. This is what my flesh tells myself. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. That's not the right attitude. There can be all kinds of reasons that I don't feel like rejoicing, right? Can't there be all kinds of reasons you just don't feel like rejoicing? I've got a headache. I'm tired. And much worse, much, much harder trials than that. I don't feel like rejoicing. I'm broken. I don't feel like rejoicing. I was watching a documentary the other day leading up to, I was watching a documentary on John McCain. 7 years, I believe it was, in captivity, four of them in a cage. And in a cage is POW. And someone walked by, depending on the spirit, and said to him, "Hey, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." I mean, that could be delivered with a very bad spirit, correct? Couldn't it? And it just lead to bitterness on his behalf. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. But if I don't feel like rejoicing, then one of two things has to be wrong. Either I don't understand what this day is. Maybe I don't understand what that means, if this is the day. Or I don't understand what it is to rejoice. And I think the scripture answers both those questions. So again, usually when I hear other people quote this scripture, or when I'm talking to myself, when I've quoted it to myself, what it's really meant is something like this. Now, the Lord has made this day. Whatever's going on, it's His doing. Now be happy about it. And And is that true? It is true. It is true. The Lord has made this day, whatever it is, be happy about it. That is true. The Lord is perfectly sovereign. He's sovereign and good in everything he does. In everything he does, the Lord is sovereign and good. And what he does is good. And what he does is for our good. And what he does is for our glory. For his glory, I'm sorry. For our good, for his glory. So this is the day the Lord has made. Whatever happens, be glad in it. We should. We have every reason to take complete comfort, complete assurance in that alone. We have every reason to, but our sinful flesh, again, will take even that comforting truth and turn it into an ugly, bitter attitude. And I'm speaking of myself, and I'm trusting that somebody here has felt that same way. Well, this is the Lord's doing. It must be good. It must be good. I know it is. I know it's good. I know it in my head, and I know it in my heart. I know it's good. So I'm just going to grit my teeth and push through it. And is that the right attitude that we should have as children? Is that right? That's not right. That's not the right attitude. You children in here, and we're all children in here, but this, specifically you young children that are still living at home with your parents. When you hear your parents tell you to do something, look at my kids. When I tell you to do something, isn't it for your good? When you parents tell your children something, isn't it for their good? Children, when your parents tell you to do something, isn't it for your good? It is for your good. Now, you can do it. You can do what they say. But is it honoring to your parents to hang your head and stomp your feet and say, well, I guess I'm going to do it because Dad told me to do so. Is that honoring to your parents? It's not honoring. Kids who are old enough to have your own curfew, parents tell you to be home at such and such a time. Is it honoring to come home a minute before? That's not early enough in my book. Honor your parents out of love because they deserve it. Matt, Tessa, you all provide everything for your children, right? Everything that they have. The food they ate this morning, every stitch of clothing that they're wearing, from their shoes to their shirt to the hair bow. Everything. Everything. You've provided for them. The roof over their head, they depend on you for everything. And you don't deserve anything less. You don't deserve anything less than a grateful attitude from them in return. As loving parents, you've earned that. You deserve a grateful attitude back from them. And even as sinful, imperfect people, we fathers, I'll speak to me, fathers, Sean, we have our children's best interest at heart, even as sinful men we do. How much more does our Father deserve a thankful, rejoicing heart from us? Look again at verse 24. This morning, I mentioned earlier, we're going to focus on 4 points. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Who is the Lord? What day hath he made? Who is the we that we're talking about? Who are we? And what is it to rejoice? Now, first of all, who is the Lord? David said, this is the day the Lord hath made. So that begs 2 questions. Who is the Lord? What day hath he made? Who is the Lord? Verse 1 in Psalm 118. Verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. The Lord is capital, you see it, the capital L-O-R-D. The Lord, Jehovah. And all the names of Jehovah. The Lord is good. The Lord my banner. The Lord my shepherd. The Lord that heals. The Lord is present. The Lord is there. The Lord our righteousness, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord will provide, the Lord our peace, the Lord of hosts, he is good. And that's who David's talking about. Who is the Lord? The Lord is good. Goodness is his character. He does good and he is good. He does good and he is good. He's described as abounding, overflowing in goodness and truth. And not because man has judged him to be so, not because we've declared him to be good. We have no point of reference for good. Mark 10, Dan, I believe you looked in Matthew, the rich young ruler gives account of the man that came running to Christ And he said, "Good master." And Christ answered him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one." There's none good but one. That's God. Why do you call me good? There's none good but one. That's God. Christ was revealing himself to this man. Are you calling me good because you judge that I'm good? Well, that's meaningless. We don't know what good is in ourselves. We don't know good. There's no point of reference there. How can we, being not good, judge what is good? There's none good but one. That is God. Christ was revealing that he is God. He is God. And therefore, goodness is his nature. It's his character. It's his being. Not because we judge him so, but because he is good. Because he is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Nature declares his goodness, right? Scripture says that. Nature declares his goodness. How in the world can we look at the planets and the stars and the trees? How can we look at that and not know? God is good. God is good. And the angels show forth his goodness, but the rest of verse 1 there is reserved only for his children. His children know the Lord's goodness more fully. The Lord is good. But what do his children know? They know what creation and the angels don't know. His children know mercy. Mercy. The Lord is good, and he's good to me, because his mercy endureth forever. Is that the end of the verse? He's good. His mercy endureth forever. Who is the Lord? The Lord's good. His mercy endureth forever. Forever. Look over in verse 19. Same chapter, Psalm 118. Verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. The Lord is the gate. Who is the Lord? The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is the gate. Now, the gate to the temple, the only people that could enter into those gates were those who were ceremoniously clean. Only those who were ceremoniously clean were permitted to enter into the gate of the temple. Not the uncircumcised, not strangers, not anybody who was deemed unclean by the law. They couldn't come in through the gate. Had to be clean to go in through the gate. No one unclean. Now, how are we who are unclean? How are we permitted to enter into the gate of righteousness? But that's what David said, right? I'll enter in. How are we who are unclean permitted to enter into the gate of righteousness? In Numbers, the law says that if a man touched a dead body, or for that matter was even in the tent where a dead body was, if you touched a dead body, you were unclean for 7 days. Unclean for 7 days. And if he didn't purify himself correctly according to the law, then he would defile the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul would be cut off from Israel. Is the Lord going to allow his tabernacle to be defiled? Absolutely not. Whoever comes in the gate of the tabernacle must be clean. Must be clean. So how can I, an unclean sinner, come into the gate of righteousness? But that's what David says. How can I come into the gate of righteousness? God told Adam when he ate the fruit, thou shalt surely die, or dying, thou shalt die. Dying, thou shalt die. We're touching dead bodies right now. Just as in Numbers, you couldn't even be in the tent with a dead body, let alone touch one, or you're unclean. We are dead bodies. That's what we are. We're touching dead bodies right now. How shall we be clean? Even if we were to somehow purify ourselves, right now, an instant later, we'd just be unclean again. How shall we be made clean? How can God be just and justify an unclean sinner? Or as Paul says in Romans, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How shall I be clean? Yet, David said, I'll go in into them, I'll praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Who is the Lord? He's good. His mercy endureth forever. He's the gate through which, get this, through which only the righteous shall enter. Only the righteous shall enter, and all the righteous shall enter. Only the righteous and all of the righteous shall enter. The Lord is the gate. He's the only gate. Turn over to John with me, John chapter 14. Who is the Lord? He's good. His mercy endureth forever. He's the gate of righteousness. I'll actually start up in verse 1. Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the gate. He's the gate to the Father, and he's the only gate. He's the only gate. He's the only door to the ark. He's the only way. He is the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father by me. Christ is that gate of righteousness, and Christ is our righteousness itself. Christ is our righteousness. Someone told me years ago, righteousness isn't a thing. Righteousness is Christ. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is the gate, and David entered because David was made righteous. David was made righteous. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me quote a couple scriptures for you. Galatians 3, chapter 13, 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God, a son. Who is the Lord? He's good. His mercy endureth forever. He's the gate of righteousness. He is our righteousness, that we may enter in through the gate. Those that entered in into the gate through the temple, they were coming to offer sacrifices. He's our sacrifice. He's the gate. He's our righteousness. He's the sacrifice. Who is the Lord? The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. He's our sacrifice. He's the gate. He's the only gate. He's our righteousness. So that there may be no doubt that the Lord is Jesus Christ himself, look at verse 22. It says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. The Lord Jesus Christ himself quoted this scripture. He's quoted this scripture. It's documented in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In each case, when he quoted this scripture, the Pharisees knew exactly what he was saying. They knew that Christ was referring to himself as that chief cornerstone. They knew exactly what he was saying and immediately sought to kill him. Peter quotes this verse in Acts chapter 4. Let's turn over there. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. They had healed a man. Of course, the Pharisees put him in jail for it that night and asked him, because it was done on the Sabbath, and said, what power do you do this? And in verse 10, he said, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole, the lame man that they had healed. By him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. Christ is that cornerstone referred to here in Psalm 118. Who is the Lord? He's good. His mercy endureth forever. He's the gate of righteousness. He's our righteousness. He's the sacrifice within the gate. He's the chief cornerstone. Rejected by natural man. Rejected by natural man. Rejected by religion. But to ye who believe, he is precious. That's what the scripture says, right? To ye who believe, he is precious. What day hath he made? This is the day which the Lord hath made. What day is being referred to here? Is this a literal? Is this a 24-hour day? June 9th, 2019. This is the day the Lord hath made. What day is being referred to here? And the Lord hath made this day, June 9th, 2019. And we do. We rejoice in it, don't we? That's what we're doing right now. We rejoice in it. The day is certainly right now. Whatever right now is, it's this 24-hour period. Refers to the day of Christ's crucifixion, when he, in time, finished the work his Father gave him. And that wasn't man's doing. That crucifixion, that wasn't man's doing. That was man's will left to himself. That great injustice on man's behalf, that's how man meant it. That was man left to his own will. It was God's justice. Man was left to himself, but the Lord made that day. The Lord made the day of crucifixion. That was the Lord's doing. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice in his crucifixion, his sacrifice. The fact that it is finished. We'll rejoice and it is finished. We'll rejoice. This is the day of the new covenant. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. This is the day of the new covenant. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and often offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It is this day. This day. Not a day of daily sacrifice that the priest did daily. Not the daily sacrifice. It's this day, the forever day that is being referred to there in Hebrews. Forever. By which Christ through his sacrifice hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's the day the Lord has made, the forever day, that those are made perfect who are sanctified by the blood of Christ. That forever day, we can rejoice and be glad in that day. It's the day of salvation. As long as the sun rises. I heard Cody Gruber say this one time, and for whatever reason, I had just never thought of it before. Every day the sun rises, I know the Lord's still working. He's still saving, calling and saving rebel, dead sinners. He's still breathing life into dry bones. Every day that sun rises, I know he's doing that, because as soon as he's done, he's going to wrap it up. So the sun rose today, so I know the Lord's showing mercy. I know he's still calling sinners. I know he is. This is the day. I can rejoice. I can rejoice in that. When the last child is brought to repentance, the Lord will end heaven and earth. The Lord's still showing mercy through Christ's blood today. This afternoon, for the sake of time, just this afternoon, I'll read 2 Peter chapter 3 sometime. It just ties along so well with this. I tried to pick a couple verses out of it, and I just wanted to read the whole chapter. And for the sake of time, read 2 Peter chapter 3, as it just goes along so well with this text. Those heavens, they're kept in store, reserved for fire. This is the day of salvation. The Lord is seeking and saving his sheep even right now, even today. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Our circumstances can cause us to not have joy for a time. And that's specified, for a time. But they don't stop us from rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what the time is today, it's still the day the Lord has made. Today. Today is constant. Time is specific. It has a beginning and an end. Today does not. Lord, forever. We can't comprehend forever. Forever ago? Forever ago? The Lord showed me mercy forever ago. Yep. In Christ. The Lord accepted Christ's sacrifice forever ago. In time, the sacrifice was accepted. In time, it is finished. Continue to show mercy through Christ forever that way too. Forever. We can't comprehend forever. That is today. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The trials and circumstances that we have, those are for a time. A specified time. Eric read this in the study last week. And it was just such a blessing, such a help to me here in Psalm 118. Turn over to Ecclesiastes. Let's read this together. It's right after Proverbs. So I told you, we're practicing for Bible school, sword drills. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Remember, as we read through this, no matter what the time is, it's still today. All these are times, but today is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now, if it's a time to weep, if it's a time to mourn, and our text in Psalm 118 is offered with that, called an obligatory spirit, isn't that just wrong? If it's a time to weep, if it's a time to mourn, and you're hearing that verse in your head, or I hope no one's giving you that verse, trying to be an encouragement somehow. They're using it in such a way as to tell you it's not a time to weep, or it's not a time to mourn. That's being used wrong. It's being used incorrectly. If we're burdening ourselves with that guilt, and that's what it is, telling ourselves we ought to quit weeping and we ought to rejoice, we're misusing that verse. There's a time to mourn. There is a time to mourn. And it's right to do so. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. And that is still a day to rejoice. Those don't conflict me. It's the same. You mourn, you weep, and you rejoice. Is that possible? In Christ it is. It is. If it's a time to mourn, then we mourn. And we rejoice. For even when we mourn, the Lord's goodness hasn't ceased. He hasn't ceased to be who He is. Who is the Lord? He's good. His mercy endureth forever. There's not a time of that. That's forever. So even in our time of weep, even in our time of mourn, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. That hasn't ceased. Today is still the day of salvation. Therefore, we can weep and rejoice at the same time. We can. Time to weep, time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything, and everything is for a time. It's a time for everything, and everything is for a time, and the Lord doesn't change. He's good, and His mercy endureth forever. He's good, and His mercy endureth forever, even if I can't see His face. He hides His face sometimes, and He's good, and His mercy endureth forever. When I was saying that, I started to say, there's time for everything, and everything is time, but the Lord is good. But that's not right. That's not the right way to say it. And the Lord is good. Those don't conflict. That's at the same time. There's a time for everything. And the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. The Lord does not change. That day of salvation is constant. And that's the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in that. Third question is, who is this we? Our text says, we will rejoice in it. So I'm interested. Who is we? Back into our text in Psalm 118, starting in verse 2. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Who is this we? Let Israel say. This is God's chosen people. This is natural Israel, whom the Lord delivered from Egypt. This is natural Israel, who he delivered through the wilderness. This is also spiritual Israel, who God has chosen. Who is this we? It's Israel. Verse 3 says, let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And this is God's priesthood. God's priesthood. The Levites were responsible for those daily sacrifices. That was their calling. That was their purpose. That was their focus, these daily sacrifices, the Levites. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, says that we're priests as well. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, again, that's Christ, our chief cornerstone, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let chosen Israel, that royal priesthood, those who love Christ's sacrifice and are consumed with Christ's sacrifice, just the way the Levites were consumed with the sacrifice, let those say, let those who love Christ's sacrifice say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice together and be glad in it. Those who don't love the sacrifice are not invited to rejoice. Let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron now say. Verse 4 says, let them that know the fear of the Lord say, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Now our previous two verses speak of God's chosen people, Israel and the priesthood. But when we talk of election, it's never an exclusion. We never speak of exclusion. We never speak of election excluding people. Never, never. This verse here, in verse 4, invites anyone who fears the Lord and wants to come worship, come. Let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. Anyone who will come to Christ may come to Christ. Anyone who will come to Christ may come to Christ. And those who come, what does the scripture say? He will in no wise cast out. Do you think for a minute that I'm preaching free will? No, right? There's no such thing. Of course not. There's no such thing among men as free will. Only the Lord's will is free. In our fallen, sinful flesh, our will never choose Christ. We'll never choose Christ. He's the stone that was rejected of men. We'll never choose Christ. Our will isn't free. Christ says in John 5, ye will not come to me that you might have life. You will not. That's our will. Our will is will not. Will not. And we don't preach that man doesn't have a will. We preach that man doesn't have a free will. We have a will. That's our will is will not. We will not come to Christ that we might have life. Our will isn't free. Hear these words of the Lord in verse 4. Whether you never come to Christ before or came to him 100 years ago, this applies. Let them that fear the Lord, let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. This is the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. So finally, what is it to rejoice? What is it to rejoice? It can't be described as only in terms of a feeling, right? That's not doing it justice. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving, right? Looking for that feeling is deceiving. It's like trying to describe love. When we look for the feelings of love, we can easily be deceived. We can easily be disappointed when we look for the feelings of love. I heard it quoted, "I looked at Christ and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove and it flew away. I looked at Christ and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove and the dove flew away. I looked at Christ. It's Christ." So rather than the feeling, rejoicing has to do with grabbing hold of the source, right? Grabbing hold of Christ. Obtaining that object of your soul focus and just refusing to let go. Dan and Frank and I used to run a lot. We can't tell now, but we used to run a lot. And we got pretty into it, didn't we? We were running back up the hill toward the Y. That's always where we finish. Slight uphill toward the Y. Frank was a little in front of me, and Dan was a little behind me, and I was all in. All in on trying to catch Frank. My sole focus. And Dan started to pass me on the left, and the sidewalk was about this big. And I promise you, I didn't think this out. I didn't mean to do it. You know what I did as Dan started to pass me? I did this. And I pushed him down the hill. I'm sorry, Dan. That says a lot about me, but it also says, oh, that soul focus. I wanted to catch Frank so bad, I'd push my friend over a hill. Right? That soul focus. Luke 15 recounts the parable of the lost coin. One parable. Lost coin, lost sheep, prodigal son. One parable. It's another good text to read this afternoon or through the week. As it relates to our message here, good text to read. In all three examples, the one that was seeking what was lost was seeking diligently. Diligently for the lost coin, the lost sheep, watching diligently for the prodigal son, diligently with their whole mind, their whole heart, their whole focus. And in all three cases, when they obtained what they were seeking, they rejoiced. They called their friends and neighbors to rejoice with them. They rejoiced because they obtained. They weren't looking at the rejoicing. They were looking at the focus of their love. Christ. Lay hold of Christ. That's what we do. We rejoice. When we lay hold of Christ, we will rejoice. Depending on the time that we're in, whatever that time is described in Ecclesiastes, it might be a time of mourning. You may not be able to see the rejoicing on my face. Shame on me. But you may not be able to see the rejoicing on our face. But if we're laying hold of Christ, the gate, the sacrifice, it is finished. If we lay hold of that, don't we rejoice? Of course we do. We rejoice. You know who, actually, before I, Mike's prayer this morning, right? He prayed for a heart that pants after thee. He prayed that before, for a heart that pants after thee. I want that. And a heart that pants after him will find him. He says that. He'll reveal himself to that heart that pants after him. He gives us the desire. He gives us the heart to pant. And then he gives us the nature to pant after him. And then he gives us himself. It's all of Christ. And then we rejoice. Focused on Christ. Focused on Christ. You know who didn't rejoice in that parable? There was one that didn't rejoice in that parable. That was the prodigal son's brother. The prodigal son came back and his father killed the fatted calf and they rejoiced together for the prodigal son had returned. The prodigal son's brother didn't rejoice and he didn't rejoice because he felt entitled. That's ugly. That's ugly. That's works. There's no rejoicing in work salvation. There's no salvation in works. Coming to Christ, coming to the Father, coming through that gate of righteousness based on our works, on our deserving, even if we're trying to add to Christ's sacrifice. It's nothing but entitlement and we'll be just like the prodigal son's brother. Entitled. Deserving it. No rejoicing. No rejoicing. May the Lord protect us from that dangerous attitude. We seek Christ. We come to Christ. We grab hold of Christ, the sole focus of our panting heart, our heart's desire, what we need. We grab hold of Christ, only Christ. And no matter what else is happening, even through tears, we rejoice. This is the day, in conclusion, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Who's the Lord? He's good. He's good. He's always good. He's Jehovah. His mercy endureth forever. He's Christ Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our sacrifice. He's the way. He's the only way. His mercy endureth forever. And what is this day? It is today. It's today. It's the day of Christ's finished sacrifice. It's the day of salvation. We could rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, use your message for your intended good, for your glory. We pray that you do give us a heart that pants after you. Father, be with us. Show us Christ and that finished, absolutely acceptable sacrifice. That all are made righteous that come to Christ. We're adopted as sons in Him, made righteous in Him. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice. I pray that you allow us to see Him ever more clearly. Be with us this day. We pray this in Christ's name and for His sake.
Let's stand and sing 132. Lift this from our hearts. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me all. I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me all, I know He lives. He rejoice, oh voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart.